It's a message we all need to hear, isn't it? The Bible tells us exactly what we need and what God's will is. And in that message, one of the things that I want the young people to get a hold of is if you walk in the Lord, then you can live in joy. And so I thought tonight we would look through the scriptures at the commands the Bible tells us to rejoice, or information the Bible gives us about rejoicing. So yesterday morning I spoke at a church in Columbus. I did a men's meeting for them. And as I was driving home, I stopped at Starbucks in Marysville there. And my friend Jeremy Stout, pastor's Bible Baptist in Marysville. How many of you have seen their building right on the highway now, right on 33, Bible Baptist? I'm preaching there in August. But it was fun as I was pulling in, I said, I was thinking of you as I pulled into Starbucks here in Marysville, preach the word tomorrow. He texted me back. We're on a men's thing. They were a different church doing a different men's thing, and he had just led somebody to the Lord. And so here I am with a brother in Christ rejoicing about someone coming to know the Lord as Savior. And going to Starbucks, I walked out. And I don't know about you guys, I long for summer, for it to come. And I walked out and the sun was shining and it was warm and just put a big smile on my face. It was wonderful. Last night, and then yesterday we had our family over. Lydia and Josh are moving to Germany. They're taking my grandkids out of the country. One of them I hadn't even seen yet. But we had a blast yesterday with our family. And then last night, Lauren, who was baptized today, texted Laura and said, be sure and tell people that I was already baptized, but I want to identify with Grace Baptist Church doctrine. Is that cool? So, I've got my text group with my preacher friends. So I say, look at the text that Laura just got. And we were all rejoicing. I think Dalton said, that's deep. That's real when that happens. And so Mackenzie doing a good job discipling Lauren, and Lauren having a desire to do right and to follow the Lord. We have things to rejoice about, don't we? Those kids this morning entering into their life now, and all of those next steps. We have so much to rejoice about. I thought it'd be good tonight. Let's just look at some scriptures that talk about rejoicing. You might want to write some of these down so that you can review them again. But let's look at this. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, so obviously he's finishing up what he was going to say, but he still has half the book left. So when a preacher says finally, it doesn't mean anything. Just so you know, it's in the book. All right? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So Paul's closing admonition to the Philippian believers is rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, rejoice in the Lord. And this is a theme throughout the scriptures. Let's go to the book of Psalms, the 9th Psalm. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. It's fun. He's praying for deliverance and telling God he's going to rejoice when he's delivered. That's good. And when he's delivered, he's telling God, I want to give you the glory for that. I want to show your praise in the gates. Look at Psalm 13 and verse 5. Look at verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I love it. David is praying to God, and he's saying, hey, let's not give our enemies reasons to celebrate. Let's not give them something to rejoice. And he's trusting in the Lord for it. Look at Psalm 32. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Look at the verse before that. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. I just love what this passage says. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. You know, it's when you're doing right, it's much easier to be happy. Amen? When you're doing right, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So do right. It is so fun to be in the Lord's will, being perfect in the Lord's will, being full of the knowledge of God. Man, that's so much fun. And that's the prayer that Paul had for them. Look at Psalm 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely for the upright. It's when people are living wicked lives and then something good happens and they say, I just want to praise God. You got some ball player that wins a game and you know the guy's just wicked. And I want to give thanks to Jesus. Come on. That praise, it's not comely. It's not beautiful. Amen? But when you know somebody's living right, they have a good testimony, and they give praise to the Lord, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. Look at verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. In my Sunday school class, we just finished looking at all of the places in the book of Acts where the apostles preach in the name of Jesus, where they're willing to suffer for the name of Jesus, where they heal in the name of Jesus. It's all about the name of Jesus. And here, they're trusting in the Father's holy name. And their heart is going to rejoice in that. Look at Psalm 35. Verse 9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. You know, when you pray, you really ought to thank the Lord for your salvation over and over and over again, every day and many times a day, because of where we could be. Look at chapter 40, Psalm 40 and verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Isn't that good? Is this us right here? Here, let's read that verse again. Let's read that out loud together. Verse 16, you ready? Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Wow, that's a good verse to put on your wall, you know, to put on some art, some, you know, like they do over in Amish country or whatever. I have a really cool one in my office that used to hang out in the hallway. That's the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Somebody do that. You know, where's Kevin? Get him to put that in wood for me or something. This is a great verse. I love this. All right, let's keep going. Look at Psalm 51. And you know this psalm, this is when David had sinned and he's going to the Lord. And look at what he says in verse 12. Psalm 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, when you're away from the Lord, it's hard to know the joy of your salvation. And of course, David wouldn't have understood eternal security or anything like that. We are eternally secure. And yet when we're away from the Lord, we need him to restore the joy of our salvation. Look at Psalm 70, the 70th Psalm. And verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Does that sound like anything that we just read? And I think repetition in the Bible is God's volume control. How about all of us say continually, let God be magnified? Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Man, I wish the devils were subject to me. I wish I could heal people. I wish I had that kind of power. And you know what God would say? It's better that your name's written in heaven. You want to know something? My name is written in heaven. Anybody with me on that? Say amen. Amen. Man, we can rejoice about that. Look at John 15. John 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So Jesus Christ, remember what this passage is in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And he talks about what it means to abide in Christ. And those of us who are saved, we do abide in Christ. And it is a wonderful thing. The reason Jesus said that is so that we can have joy, and that joy can be full. And I like that. Not just a little bit of joy, but full, as much joy as you can have. And I think sometimes the reason that we are not joyful is because we are thinking on the wrong things. We're dwelling on our problems instead of God's blessings. There will always be problems to focus on. When those problems take us away from focusing on Christ, that's the biblical definition of idolatry. Some of us, our problems, our trouble, our health problem, our financial problem, that's an idol to us. It's all that we think about, and it's what we center our lives around. We need to think about the Lord, don't we? And allow our joy to be full, because that's what Jesus has given us. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 13. Jesus praying to the Father, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. These disciples, many of them were going to go die. Jesus knew that. And yet, while they were in the world, Christ wanted their joy to be full. Man, can you imagine the rejoicing in heaven when the apostles got there? What they, God had used them to start. And we're still in what they started. Remember what our series is called in the book of Acts, the beginning of our story. The beginning of our story. Look at Romans chapter 15. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Filled with joy and peace. When we have an association with Christ, there is supposed to be joy involved. And I think if that is not your state, if someone, you're having a conversation, how are you doing, and you were honest, would your answer be, I'm joyful? I'm joyful. Some of us, that's not our nature, right? I told somebody the other day, I want on my tombstone to say, I told you I was sick. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to say that. But some of us, that our nature isn't to be joyful. The Bible doesn't say be joyful if that's your nature. Some of you just... what's your name? Diana Tennant. She's joyful. How many of you would say that that's what you would think of if you thought of Diana, right? And you know, others, Jet is a curmudgeon. No, Jet is also joyful. You can't see Jet without a smile on his face. That he has a joyful nature, right? I think he got that from his mom. Sue has that joyful nature. Praise God for that. Some of us don't. How many of you would be honest and say, I don't think my nature is joyful. Right? Hold them up. Come with me. Folks, that's no excuse, is it? What we're supposed to do is not go with our nature. We have a new nature. And that's the nature that Jesus Christ gives us. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Young people, if you ever have to memorize a verse very quickly, this is a good one. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice evermore. Isn't that a good command? Rejoice evermore. Let's all stand together. Lord, thank you for Grace Baptist Church and the opportunity to gather together. And just this short, it's not really even a sermon. It's just, we just read what your word says about rejoicing. Father, I pray that these verses, they reset our thinking as we head into this week.